Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
This is Marcy. You're listening to Your Network of Praise. I am sitting here with Michael Cochran. And I can say now that we're old friends officially, because
right.
We got to meet in Florida at Momentum, and that was a blast.
Yes.
It was so good to see you there. And I'm so thankful that you are now officially in our listening area, visiting Billings, Montana for the Where the Joy Is tour. Welcome to Montana.
Thank you so much. It feels good to be in Montana. When you cross the border, you can just feel that you're in a special state. You know, it just comes over you.
That's right. It's true. It's so true. So I'm thankful that you're here with We Are Messengers, Ben Fuller. How has the tour been so far?
It's been really great. I think we're about a third into it, maybe. This is show 14 or something like that. I don't know. But it's been so wonderful. Mm. The crowds have been great every night. And there's just a hunger in people, I think, to experience not just live music and fun and entertainment, which we hope we're really bringing, but to just experience each other and experience Christ and experience hope. People want hope so much right now, and we see them receiving that. We see them just receiving joy and leaving filled up every night, and it's just been so fun. And it's like an overflow of backstage. I mean, we're all getting along out here. We're all having a great time. There's just not ego happening, you know. It's just a really sweet tour, so we're very grateful for it.
That's really cool. And I was actually going to mention that because I had seen a post, I think it was on Instagram or Facebook, one of those, where you're saying it starts backstage.
Yeah.
Are you guys getting time to just be yourselves outside of the music?
Yeah, definitely. We've had time to, and some cities are more conducive than others to, like, go out and do stuff, walk around, whatever, but we've been able to get out. You know, today we went to Shields.
I was going to ask
yes,
you that.
Have to. I have to. And I was saving it up for this. So we've been to a few places where there were Shields lately,
yes.
Rapid City and somewhere else. And I love the Billings Shields so much. I was like, I'm not going until we get to Billings. So we went today. We spent a long time there.
We probably missed you because my kids and I were there today.
Really?
Yeah. That's so great. I love that. I was literally going to ask you that because that's a kind of a thing. Like, if you go to Billings, you have to go to Shields.
Yeah, there's a Ferris wheel there. I mean, you have, yeah.
Exactly. I know. I hear you. That's so funny. I was actually going to ask you that. So your wife, Leah, right? I have that right?
Yep.
She's with you and singing with you tonight.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I wanted to just mention, again, something I've seen on your social media. You threw her a birthday party in last month, and it was like 90s themed. Is that right?
Yes. You know, so this was the big 3-0. So she was born in 93.
Okay.
So I was like, well, we'll just throw it back to the 90s. And so we did. And her favorite, I mean, 90s country is her favorite music.
Awesome.
So we just kind of went all in on that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had like the Garth Brooks banners and I'm very proud of myself for this.
We
had,
so good.
we brought in a charcuterie board because that's just the thing to do now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I printed off and made these foam boards of Alan Jackson in his water ski outfit, and we called it the Chattahoochee Chattahoo charcuterie board.
I love that. That's genius.
That
is so good.
Charcuterie boards are like the way to go right now, and that's so genius. I love that idea, and what a sweet way to bless your wife too.
Yeah, you know, she really is a behind the scenes personality.
Yeah.
She's a little more introverted than me, and she just likes to avoid the spotlight.
Sure.
But she's such a huge part of what we do, and so I really wanted a night where she gets celebrated, because oftentimes I'm the one that does the interviews, I'm the one that gets the award or whatever, or, you know, but she's every bit of that. And so that was a night where she got, you know, celebrated and she was in the spotlight. So she said she didn't mind it. All my family was like, I don't know if she's going to like this, because she is, you know, she's so avoiding of the spotlight and doesn't want to be celebrated, but she had a great time. It was great.
That's so great. I love that. Seriously. Okay. So last we met, we talked about Running Home. You gave me a little background on that song. And since then it became your first number one radio hit. That's amazing.
So thankful. It's crazy even to hear you say it.
I know, but it's awesome. You also got to perform in the Grand Ole Opry since the last time we met, too.
It's been a wild year.
Yeah.
So many dreams coming true. Thank you, obviously, for supporting the song. But it really has been super fulfilling because, you know, we've been grinding for a long time. And we don't do what we do for the accolades, obviously, you know. but it really does feel affirming when, you know, the listeners and the industry as a whole, whatever, they come around it. We had a song off the record nominated for a Dove Award, which just feels like a like another stamp of approval. You know, not that we need that, but it does feel nice. You know, it's just nice to feel like, okay, we're doing something, you know, and it's encouraging. And it just makes me want to just keep going.
I'm glad to hear that. We're hoping that you can keep going. We love your music. And it is making an impact. You're right. And I definitely appreciate the music that you make. So, okay, let's you said the grind. You mentioned the grind, right? Take me back. So my kids literally just took their first piano lesson like last week, right? And I know they're not the only ones. They're just getting started in building their musical talent and starting that passion, you know, just igniting that passion. Take me back to Montgomery, Indiana, you know, first piano lesson, Michael Cochran.
Yeah.
What do you think kind of made you stick with it or
impacted you?
I'm embarrassed to say I did not stick with piano lessons. So turn this off
That's
now.
Encouraging.
Rewind it, turn it off so your kids don't hear. I do wish I did. I learned how to play piano by ear later, but my piano teachers would get so frustrated with me because I just didn't want to practice. Mm-hmm. I wanted it just to happen easily, you know. And what you learn as you get older is that nothing happens easily. Mm-mm. You have to grind it out. But I just, you know, I always had a hunger for music. It just took a while to figure out that it had to be work too. You know, anything that you're going to do, you have to work at it or nothing's going to happen. What's the point, you know? And so when those two, when my passion and my work ethic combined, that's when I felt like, I was like, okay, you know what? This is work. This is a job, but I love it so much that I would do it for free, you know? And when we started getting paid to do it, it was like, holy smokes, you know? Okay. I remember specifically, I was working at a local grocery store called a JC food store, and I was working, I don't know, 15 hours a week. And so my paycheck would have been, I don't know, probably $5 an hour or whatever. And it, you know, hundreds of dollars for 2 weeks of hard work. And I remember one time I sang at a wedding and I got $200 for singing at this wedding. And I was like, I'm rich. Yeah, that's it. I'm never bagging groceries again, you know. But that sparked it. It was like, wow, you know, if you work hard at this, maybe there's a way that it can be a job, you know. And that was just a dream. That's all I ever wanted to do was to write music that encouraged people and make a living doing it, you know. And it's unreal that God just keeps putting more icing on that cake, you know.
The song that is playing a lot now, and I've heard it a few times now that I really like it, the parking lot song. I met Jesus in a parking lot.
Yes.
Now, you might have to expound on that a little bit because that's definitely got to be an interesting testimony there.
Yeah, it's a fun conversation starter for sure. You know, that is my story. And what I've learned is it's a lot of people's story. They have, you know, what I call the parking lot moment. You know, everybody has their name for it. But I was sitting in a college parking lot after a chapel service one night that I only went to because some friends invited me, because I was really disenfranchised with Christianity. I was a nominal Christian all through school. I just I had a lot of things going on in my head, my heart when I was a kid. Just that I never felt like I fit in anywhere, and you know, I always struggled with my weight, and I struggled with what that meant about my value compared to, you know, my friends or my cousins that were always, they were so good at sports and athletic and all that stuff. And then here I was, and I just felt like less than all the time. And so that does something to you, you know, and that does something to your spirit, and you wrestle with, you know, do I belong here? Am I, you know, what's my worth? And it wasn't until college, really, at that Bible study one night, the guy just preached on the gospel, and I'd heard it so many times, you know, and it really was. It was after that, I sat in my car in that parking lot, and I prayed, and I just did some business with the Lord, and I turned on my radio, and a local Christian station that I hadn't been listening to very long, really since I'd just been going to that Bible study for a few weeks. I had kept that on my radio station, and East to West, by Casting Crowns, came on the radio. And the lyrics of those verses, God just spoke right to me through that. And that was like the moment when I was like, okay, this is, you know, a sign from the Lord that this has to be real. I'm going to pray, you know, that that Christ would, you know, be mine, and, you know, that he would be my Savior. And things started changing gradually in my life after that. But that was really like the aha lights on moment of like, Jesus is real. This is for real. I want this. I want to be the person God wants me to be. Mm. And it happened for me in a parking lot. And what's been so cool over these past couple of years with the music we've put out is that people have had those same moments listening to our music on Christian radio. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the inspiration behind this song, was that this is my story, but it's so many other people's story too. And we're just so blessed to be a part of it. It's really a love letter to Christian radio and the power of it and what it can do and how God chooses to use it.
Well, thank you for that Christian radio plug. I really appreciate that. Yeah. Amen. That really feels like a full circle moment too when you get to hear those testimonies, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I met Jesus in a work van. I don't know if you can work with those lyrics and make a rhyme that would go with that, but let me know if you... No, so when you were coming, when you said you were going to that Bible study for a few weeks, even before that, who do you think really was like influencing your faith journey? Who do you think before you gave your life to Christ really influenced you and grew with you while you were still had questions?
Gosh, well, I would say my grandparents always were not so much in a conversational way, but just in the way they lived their life. Mm. Up until my grandfather passed at age 93 in 2020. Mm. And he just was a man of faith. He's a retired minister. Just life came at them in so many ways, loss of a couple different children over their lives and just the resilience of their faith. So that was always something I saw, the practical playing out of faith. And so that I really do attribute my grandparents' witness, but also their prayers in preserving me, because there was a lot of years where, you know, from my standpoint, there was no guardrails. Mm-hmm. But yet looking back, God definitely had guardrails on my life. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, you're going to make some mistakes, but you're only going to make these mistakes, you know. And it was like he was just preserving my life, preserving my future. And I think that was a result of my grandparents' prayers. And I think it was also a result of I couldn't throw the whole baby out with the bathwater in those years, because there was something about my grandparents that seemed genuine. Mm-hmm. You know, for everything else that I didn't understand or didn't want to believe or didn't want to be true, there was something about them, you know, that was like, well, but they believe it and they're the best, you know, so that maybe there's something to it. And that was always in the back of my mind.
That's really good. When you are performing, I'm super excited to see you perform tonight here in Billings. You've been on tour with these guys, like you said. It's been in like at least 14. How do you prepare to go on stage when you're getting up there to perform for everybody every night?
Prayer. The tour together does a devotion before we go out after dinner, and it's always super helpful just to reset our hearts and minds on why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a great show or you know, not as many people in the seats we wish were there, whatever it is, whatever the circumstances, none of that affects why we do what we do. Mm. And so just to remember that is always helpful. But then I do, practically speaking, I do my vocal warm-ups, you know, and I psych myself into it. And I'll go out there and I listen to the last song that Ben does, because we're right there next to the stage, and it just gets me ready for it.
So what kind of testimonies are you hearing off of this tour when it comes to the people that you're seeing city to city? Are you seeing any God working in any special ways?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing everything from people being like, you know, I was, you know, kind of complacent in my faith, and now I'm on fire, you know, whatever, and I'm fired up, and they're just motivated, kind of a mountaintop experience, you know, all the way from those things all the way to I didn't believe and now I do, you know, because Christ spoke to me tonight. We've even heard people that, you know, were prayed over in the concert for ailments and for things like that, and God just decided that was the moment he was going to heal them. And so just really, really cool stuff, you know. None of us can, you know, make that happen with any power that we have. It's just God chooses his perfect timing sometimes, and it's really cool that he's decided to do that at these shows sometimes, you know.
It's so cool. I love that. And it's, you're not going to see that at a secular concert. When you're at a concert with We Are Messengers and Michael Cochran and Ben Fuller, and you're worshiping together, it's just a completely different experience than any other kind of concert. It's cool.
Yeah, you know, we want to entertain people just the same.
Sure.
And we want the production value and the quality of the musicianship and all of that. We want it to be so great, but all music and all concerts, it all points to something. Mm. And Christian concerts point to something eternal. Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference. I think people can feel the difference.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. So you, like I mentioned before, debuted in the Grand Ole Opry in June. You got to go perform there. And you have another performance at the Opry coming up October 25th.
Two times in 1 year. I can't believe it.
So you know how to be praying for Michael Cochran today.
Yeah, it wasn't a fluke. They're letting us come back. So that always feels nice. Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious if you have an empty suitcase or a tuba case. If you could just take me along on the bus. I'm willing to ride under the bus if it means I can get to the – yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, is there any, like – any more jitters that come from performing there than your normal shows?
Definitely. Yeah. Just the weight of it. There's certain venues. Red Rocks was one. Yes. The Opry, obviously. And there's just so much history there. And all the performers that have been there before you, it just feels like a heavy torch that you got to carry, you know. But it's awesome.
How was the show in June?
It was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if I have the right words. It was just it was just awesome. It was emotional. And, yeah, it was unreal.
That's amazing. I love that. Okay, so just some, you know, getting to know you type of questions. We only had a little bit of time in Florida, so I have a few more for you. What would best describe your personality? Are you more extroverted, introverted, kind of a mix of both?
Definitely extroverted until I'm out of juice.
Yes.
So usually about 10 o'clock at night on a show day, after I've done the concert, I've been to the table and I've took the pictures and met people, then it shuts off. Mm-hmm. And I'm much quieter.
Yeah.
And some people may think like I'm in a bad mood, but I'm out of juice, you know. Yeah, I'll just shut down.
So when it comes to ministry, do you think how do you think that affects your ministry? Do you?
I just know when it's time to not be around people.
Yeah.
And Will, my tour manager, when we're out at the table, I usually give him a look. I was like, we got to find a way. Because I love people. I really do. But when you get to that point, it becomes obvious you're at that point where you're just like kind of peopled out and you're really tired or for whatever reason. And so the worst thing I could do is stay around more people because it comes across wrong. You know, I don't want people to ever feel like I don't want to talk to them. Mm. It's just I'm out of juice.
Yep.
You know, I got to go recharge the battery.
So relatable.
So relatable for sure. What about beyond music? What fires you up? What are you passionate about?
Mexican food.
You'll get along with my husband.
Yeah, I'm very passionate about Mexican food, various kinds, especially fajitas.
Yes.
Gosh, I love to golf. Mm. I love the outdoors. I love national parks. One of the reasons why I love Montana so much. I just love nature. I love sitting on my porch and watching the sunset. Mm. Yeah, just the older I get, the more I like slow-paced things.
Yeah.
Just things that make it feel like time moves a little slower.
Savoring life. So you've been to Glacier National Park then?
Yes.
Oh, man. Did you get to go hiking at all, just drive around the park?
We did some hiking, yeah, and then we did the Going to Sun Road, which was unreal. Still, I think, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And we've seen a lot of the country and the world now. But, yeah, and we did, like, some boat tours and that sort of thing. Yeah, it was just great.
That's cool. That's really cool. So if you had to choose, if you could go on your ideal vacation, are you going to head towards the beach and the sun, or are you going to go to the mountains?
Mountains every time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We can relate on that. That's awesome. And what do you do for fun? I think you kind of just touched on it, but, like, what do you do to rejuvenate your soul? Like, if you are kind of just completely depleted of energy and are needing to kind of decompress, what do you do to kind of rejuvenate your soul?
Well, like, the proper Christian answer is I pray and I read the Bible.
Which is true.
Which does happen.
Yes.
Does happen. But also, more practically speaking, I watch The Office.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And I'll eat a snack.
See, NCIS is my comfort show. Yes. Yeah, I get that.
Something about that just kind of helps me. I laugh, you know, and I'm like, okay, all right, life is fine. Yeah. You know, everything's fine.
I can totally relate to that, totally. That's so great. Now, if you haven't checked out Michael Cochran's album, Running Home, definitely do that. The song itself is amazing. Like I said, it was his first radio number one hit, which is awesome. But I know more are coming down the line. So make sure you check out that album when you get a chance. See him when he's out on tour. But thank you so much for coming to Billings, for doing this show tonight. I'm super excited to see it.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about your network of praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.